Probably I won't turn quite as many pages as Dr. Reister does when he's up here. I'm amazed at his knowledge and wisdom. I'm blessed by his preaching. I wish when I had gone to college I'd learned some of the things I'd learned from him. But it's sort of late in life. It's better to still be able to learn a little bit, right? No matter what your age. So if you'll turn to some familiar verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. We'll think together today about Christ coming for the saints. One of our ministers told me years ago that you really would have needed to have known this minister to appreciate this. He said, somebody asked him, said, Brother Walker, what is a saint? And he said, I don't mean to disillusion you, but you're looking at one. Well, if you're a Christian, you're a saint, right? That's what I think. I think that's the way it is. I'm not talking about some stature somebody's made of somebody's bust or body or whatever. I'm talking about a real human being. All of us are alive and well, I trust, today. And if we have Christ as our Savior, then we are a saint, I believe, in the sight of God. And our real hope is that Jesus is personally going to come again to receive us unto Himself. What a great day that's going to be. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, quite frankly, I think the only hope that we have, only real hope that we have, is that Jesus is going to come again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. But the important thing is that we live in a state of preparedness, a state of preparation to meet the Lord whenever the time comes for Him to return in the air, to receive the church unto Himself. Now, probably the greatest thing that's ever happened in the past was the fact that Jesus left heaven, came down to this earth, took upon Himself the form of a human body, and gave Himself on the cross to satisfy God's demands for our sins. Paul wrote in Galatians 4, 4 and 5, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't think you can find anything in past history any more important than that. That Jesus came and took upon Himself a human body and went to Calvary ultimately in God's plan and died to ransom us from our sins that we might have everlasting life. Perhaps the most important thing that's happening today is the fact that Jesus is at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and me, to represent us before God in heaven. Paul said, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is at the right hand of God to make intercession for us." The writer of Hebrews says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints." And obviously the greatest thing that's going to happen in the future is that Jesus is going to come again. Paul wrote two letters to the church at Thessalonica, and in both of these letters, he deals with the matter of the Lord's coming again. In 1 Thessalonians, I think he deals with the fact that Jesus is coming for the saints. In 2 Thessalonians, he seems to deal with the idea that Jesus will come with the saints back to the earth to rule and to reign here for 1,000 years. So the important thing is that we know that we've been born again. It'll be too late to try to get ready once he comes in the air. We have to be prepared in advance. Now, if you have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians, look in chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote in verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" In chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." And so Paul emphasizes several times in this epistle of 1 Thessalonians that the Lord's going to come. And then the verses we read already, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, he pretty much outlines for us the things that are going to take place. And I realize that many of you are familiar with these verses, but repetition aids learning, and we need to be, I think, reminded to be ready and watching for the coming of the Lord. First of all, in verse... find it here. Verse 16 of chapter 4. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." The return of the Lord. The Lord Himself will return. There won't be a clone. There won't be a twin brother. There won't be somebody that favored Jesus in his human body, perhaps. But the same Jesus who came the first time and ministered here for some 33 years and then died and went back to heaven is the same one who's going to come the second time to receive the saints, the church, unto himself. And so we have the return of Christ. Then we have the resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. In 1 Thessalonians 4, the last part of verse 16. All the Christians who've lived and died are going to be resurrected. Now think about this. If Jesus does not come again, there will be no resurrection. For it will be at His resurrection that the Christians are going to be called forth out of the grave or out of the ocean or wherever these bodies may be. So we have the return of Christ. We have the resurrection. Now the Bible speaks of two resurrections. One for the Christians, the saints, and one for the unsaved that will take place at a later time. When Jesus comes in the air, the Christians, the saints, are going to be resurrected. The writer of Revelation says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." And then we have what we might call the reunion in verse 17. "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." What a great reunion day that's going to be, right? I was trying to think the other day in my mind how many folks I helped to bury over here in the cemetery across the street. And not only over here, but other cemeteries in this area. I don't know the count. I was not very good in keeping a diary or keeping a good records, I guess, of my ministry all these years. But anyway, ever how many who have died in faith in the Lord, when Jesus comes in the air and the buried Christians, the dead Christians are resurrected, and the living Christians, we're going to all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And with our Savior. Have you ever tried to imagine what it was going to be like to see Jesus? Behold Him and see Him not just by faith, but see Him with these new bodies we're going to have and see Him with our eyes, and we shall behold Him as we sang earlier. What a great reunion that's going to be. Here we have class reunions and family reunions and army reunions and on and on. I guess we could go naming off reunions. But never has a reunion been held like this reunion is going to be. And I don't want to miss it. And I don't want you to miss it. And none of us have to miss it, right? If we have our hearts right with Jesus. If we have believed and received Him as our Savior, then we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, see our loved ones who've gone before us. And I believe the Bible teaches that we shall know each other when we get to heaven. So we should be looking forward to this wonderful day of reunion when the Lord comes for the saints and calls us up to meet Him in the air. Now, I confess there are some things about the return of the Christ I don't fully understand. Somehow I have an idea that when He comes for the saints, when the archangel shouts and the trumpet sounds, that only the Christians are going to hear that. And only God can make that work. I don't know how, I never would figure that out. How some will hear and some won't hear. I had a publication numbers of years ago called the Post-Rapture Journal. I don't know whatever happened to it, what a man was writing about what it might be like once the Christians are caught away and airplane pilots have been taken to heaven and train engineers have been taken to heaven and those who were not saved are going to still be up there in the air on the airplanes and on the trains and wherever they might be. People will be looking for family members and can't find them because they've already gone to heaven. It's really something to think about, right? But perhaps the most important thing this morning is, am I sure that I'm going to go up when the saints go up? Am I assured of my personal faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus? Are you assured of your faith, your belief in Christ Jesus? Can we say with the Apostle Paul, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. In the light of that, Paul says in the fifth chapter, that we need to be watching, need to wake up and be sober. We need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. But while we're watching and waiting, we need to be working for the Lord and sharing Christ with others that they too may have the joy and privilege of going to heaven for all of eternity. Here we meet and we leave and we hope to meet again, but we have no guarantee that we're going to ever see each other again, right? At least in this life. But we can be guaranteed from the Scriptures that when the Lord comes for the Christians, whether living or dead, we'll all be caught up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I think about family members of mine that have gone to be with the Lord, and you have family members that have gone to be with the Lord, and we can look forward to seeing them in heaven. But most of all, we should be looking forward to seeing Jesus, who has made all of this possible. So do you know Him today? Not just know about Him, but are you sure? Are you really sure that you know Jesus in your heart today? Christ is coming. I don't know when. My part is to just be ready whenever it happens. Whether it's my lot to die a physical death first before He comes, or to be the generation that's going to still be living when this takes place. I would prefer the latter if I had to make the choice, but all that's in God's hands. How often do you think about it in your daily life? Do you ever think it could be today? Perhaps today my Savior will come for me. Could this be my last day on earth? He's promised to come like a thief in the night. I guess when we least expect Him, He may be coming. And when people say He's going to come on such and such a day, you can be sure He's not going to come on that day. Because Jesus said Himself, I don't know when I'm coming back myself. Only my Father knows that. Are we really ready? Oh, can we say we're ready, brother? Ready for the soul's bright home? Say, when He comes, will He find us watching, waiting for the coming of the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. Your Word is truth. The truth will set us free. And I acknowledge sometimes I don't really understand all Your Bible teaches us, but I believe what Your Word says, and I'm quite confident that as certain as Jesus came the first time, He's going to fulfill His promise to come again. For He said, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that's our hope, that He will come someday. Or that we'll be ready and watching and prepared and not be caught off guard. And may we so live that we won't have to be ashamed when He calls us home, whether by death or the rapture. May we so live that others might see Christ in us and want to know Him, that they too may be privileged to live eternally in heaven with You. I pray You would bless these dear people today and this week, and bless their homes and families, their family members. Bless those who call Leesville Church their home church who are not here today. Whatever the reasons, that You would be with them also. We again plead the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. Dismiss us with Your favor and blessing, and we will thank and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.